Support for Disgruntled Screenwriter comes from listeners like you. If you haven't already, check us out on the iTunes Music Store. Click on subscribe and add yourself to the numbers of people listening to this podcast. I imagine there's like 3 right now. So get in on that action while you can and help a brother out. Welcome to the Disgruntled Screenwriter. I'm Movie Guy John. Here's the scoop. TDS is a podcast about the ins and outs of screenwriting. Each week, we come to you in 3 acts. Act 1, scripty and junk. Act 2, getting grumpy with the current cinema. And Act 3, questions and discussion from listeners like you. But first, I want to point your attention to a little screenwriting program that I use all the time called Celtics. That's spelled S... No, it's not. That's spelled CELTX. You can find it at celtics.org, and it's the best screenwriting software that money doesn't buy. It is a perfect alternative to Final Draft, and is cheap. If you haven't got it yet, check it out. It has a lot of neat features like index cards for scenes, and the ability to save all the character names you create and reference them whenever you need to. And you can create detailed reports on your scenes with all the actors and characters that are in it and which scenes they're in and which scenes they're not in, just based off of the dialogue in the scene. Which I suppose wouldn't work very well if your scene didn't have any dialogue. Anyways, check out Celtics. It's a great program. I like it a lot.
Now, if you want to talk about the movies, we'll talk about the movies.
Okay,
if you
want to
talk about real life, we'll talk about real life.
We begin the podcast with Act 1. And this week's topic is to outline or not to outline. There is a big divide among screenwriters, and it's this. You either write your outlines for your scripts, or you don't. And everyone's opinions on the matter differ. You ask one person, do you use an outline, and they're going to be like, well, you know, the thing about it is. Or they'll be like, no, fuck that. Or they'll be, yeah, I outline like my life depended on it. If you're trying to figure out what you should do in terms of writing, if this is your first screenplay or not, an outline might be a good idea. It has better organization for your plot. You can more easily see your character's story arc and kind of figure out where that's going. And you can then flesh out your outline into a better treatment, because all of it's basically right there. You just flesh out more of the scenes. In the past screenplays I've written for school, I didn't do any sort of outlining, except what was required for class. And now that I've been out of school for a while, the outline has suddenly become a lot more useful, especially in this new script I'm writing right now. And yeah, it's been very helpful just trying to figure out who does what, when, and where the theme comes into play. And all that jazz. Of course, you do lose some of the spontaneity when you use an outline, and there are a lot of people who swear by the method of, I just start writing a scene, and the characters take me where they're gonna go. And that's a very valid writing method as well. But for people like me who need to have that organization, that kind of everything in place where it's supposed to be, disease, having an outline is very helpful. So, just give that a thought, and make your decision based off of that. Do you have a topic for discussion for the Act 1 of this podcast? Give me a shout-out at Gurr Screenplay, which is my screenwriting Twitter account. That's capital G, triple R, lowercase screenplay. I'll post random script-related things to it every now and then, and that's probably the quickest place where you can get a hold of me. And now, words a screenwriter should never use, part two. I bet you were curious to see what word I'd come up with today. The word is befuddled, which is to confuse as with a glib statement or argument. Dictionary.com, where I went to read the definition, also came up with a really odd secondary definition, which I'd like to share. It's to make stupidly drunk. So apparently, I need to be befuddled in the near future. Anyways, moving on.
What do we got?
Nothing. No name, no other alias. Clothing is custom. Nothing in his pockets but knives and lint.
Evening, Commissioner. Why so serious?
Where is he?
People are dying. What would you have me do?
Endure. You can be the outcast. You can make the choice that no one else will face. The right choice. Gotham needs you.
A little fight in you. I like that.
Then you're gonna love me.
Now that's more like it, Mr. Wayne.
It's all part of the plan.
Come on, hit me!
Let's put a smile on that face.
Act 2. I would have liked to have done a review of the G.I. Joe movie, but funds being as they are, I didn't get a chance to get out to the cinema this week. So instead I'm going to take a look back at something that's still fairly current, but has been out for a while, and that's The Dark Knight. This has come up in discussions with friends quite a bit about the movie, and just kind of what worked about it, what didn't work, and why, after three views, I've actually come to like the movie a lot less than when I first saw it. Really, a lot of my problems come down to the screenwriting choices that were made. Not so much the acting or anything else. The acting was great, the cinematography was fine, if a little uninspired at times, and the art direction was non-existent, but you can forgive that because it's Batman, right? But there were some screenwriting things that caused me some problems. And the first one is the first act, which is quite long. In fact, it's almost too long. And the real kind of culprit for that is the Hong Kong trip that Batman slash Bruce Wayne makes. And now you could argue that, yeah, it's to go get the that one guy to prove that Batman has no jurisdiction. But the Joker said that already. And it just seems to be like it just beat you over the head with that point. And another thing, it's also there to only, I mean, to showcase the new outfit, because Batman makes an outfit upgrade, which it seems like in every sequel there needs to be some kind of upgrade to the outfit. I don't really understand that, but they I mean, to their credit, they explain that fairly well in the beginning little opener. But yeah, the Hong Kong thing was too long and just too unnecessary. And then it did introduce a weird gimmick that would fly through the rest of the movie, this the sonar thing, that while the effect looked cool, it became a little improbable as the rest of the movie went on. But, I mean, I guess you can forgive it because it's a comic book movie, right? I guess. And then the biggest offense that this movie made was that Batman was a side character in his own film. If this had been called The Joker's Story, then the movie would have been a lot more accurate to what was going to go on in the film. Batman was really only there to just fight the Joker, to service the Joker's story plot, and be all angsty and shit. There really wasn't much development of the Bruce Wayne character, other than, oh no, Rachel Dawes died, and to be all emo afterwards. Like, oh, I can't be the Batman anymore. I can't take this responsibility. But that aside, the Two-Face story plot, which I actually liked that a lot. I felt that it could have been served a lot better had it been its own movie. In fact, what is it with sequels, especially of like the Batman property, requiring, or any superhero property for that matter, requiring the use of doubling the villains per sequel? Like in the first Batman movie with Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton, it was just one bad guy, one hero, one bad guy. Da-da, it's over. The sequel, Batman Returns, there were two. And then from then on, it's always been two, but like, why the need for two villains all of a sudden? Like, I understand that, you know, the fans need to see, you know, Poison Ivy. The fans need to see Mr. Freeze. But, like, you almost could have had a really epic trilogy out of this whole thing if the Joker had been the Dark Knight and then Two-Face had been in, you know, whatever third movie that there was going to be. You could have had basically three villains in three films, and it could have been written really well and become a very tight film. But instead we crammed Two-Face's entire movie-long story arc into the last third of the movie, which makes the pacing very uneven. So, like, those are a few of the reasons why I can't give any sort of positive review on The Dark Knight, or even give it anything more than, like, 3 stars at my most generous, just because there was a lot of bad writing in there. But hey, that's just my disgruntled opinion. Feel free to disagree. But of course, you're wrong.
You've changed things. Forever. There's no going back. See, to them, you're just a freak. Like me.
And now, I'd like to bring up the last act of this podcast with questions and discussion. And, let's go through the mailbag, as it were. User CW, with a little trademark, had the gamut of all the questions this week asked on the friend feed forum, friendfeed.com/disgruntled-screenwriter. He asks, does cold coffee feed the disgruntledness that is you? Well, yeah, to some extent, because it's cold coffee, and, the cold coffee here isn't all that good. So that would play into it, but I suppose it could be worse. There could be no coffee, or there could have been, like, I don't know, Starbucks coffee. Oh, zing, oh, snap. Nah, I like Starbucks coffee. Let's see, next question. How many screenwriters does it take to change a light bulb? Well, it's a funny thing you ask, because it really only takes one to change a light bulb, but then it takes a producer to decide that that light bulb doesn't quite match what the demographic wanted, and then hire a new screenwriter to change the light bulb into something better. Next question. If a screenwriter in San Francisco wrote the greatest story ever told, and a screenwriter in Hollywood wrote a story that was Transformers meets The Goonies, idea copyright by CW trademark, by the way, which one would be made into a film first? Well, the key word in there is greatest story ever told, or the key phrase, sorry. The greatest story ever told is kind of a risky endeavor, especially in this economic times. So I would say that the Transformers meets the Goonies would actually work first. In fact, they might even call it Transformers Meet the Goonies, and it would be the third part to the Transformers trilogy. And it would start with Sam being very depressed, and then he'd kill himself. One can only hope. Next question. Would you consider a move to a new location if it guaranteed your scripts would be read by top movie makers? If so, then why haven't you moved yet? I'm in the process. Final question. Does it help to look like you don't shave for weeks on end? hair a mess, eyes all droopy from lack of sleep, and getting your scripts made into movies? Well, no, but it allows me to fit in when I go to shows and listen to bands on stage. I fit in just a little bit better by looking every bit of sickly. Mm-hmm. The not shaving for weeks on end, hair a mess, eyes all droopy, lack of sleep thing is a lifestyle. Think about it. Wow, that was a fun mailbag for this week. If you do have any question, and I said any, I will answer it. Feel free to use the Friend Feed Room to ask, or you can send email to jonathan.hardesty@gmail.com. I also have voicemail, which if you use it, I will feature it on this episode, or, well, on future episodes. It can't be this one. The number is 773-980-ZOMG. That's 773-980-ZOMG. And again, my Twitter for this podcast is GRRR Screenplay, which is capital G, triple R, lowercase screenplay. I hope to post more inane screenwriting shit there in the future, so keep an eye out for it. Follow me, refer me to your friends, whatever. It'll be a party, I promise. And that wraps up this episode of Disgruntled Screenwriter. Short and sweet, just the way I like it. Hope to see you again next week. And with that, you better get to writing.